This is a disclaimer for Enough Stopping the Mental Health Stigma. Suicide is a very sensitive topic to discuss for many and can trigger some intense emotion for some. If you're experiencing a mental health emergency, please call 911 or go to your local emergency room. Welcome back to the Enough Podcast. We're breaking up the stigma on mental health. Today we're talking to David. Now, David, we've talked a last couple episodes. You've been on. You were on here with your daughter, too. And that was an incredibly impactful episode. And something that you both alluded to was the idea that you're involved with a program called the 98 Initiative. And we talked to Jake already before. But I really want to dig into the weeds because I know that now Jake's in college. You're focused on working in the Loveland community and really trying to organize games. What's your buy-in? How did you get involved in this organization?
Well, I got it involved because at the time when Jake was trying to get approval for the 988 stickers and the patches on uniforms, you know, he had to go through the Ohio High School Athletic Association, National Federation of High School Sports. But he also went into the, I think it's called Southwestern Baseball Athletic Association. So since his drive, his love is baseball, he presented to athletic directors and coaches about the 988 sticker and what it was all about. And that was in Columbus. And the funny story was his mom, well, she was there as well. You know, she took him up there. She posted on Facebook and I had seen it. And so I was texting his mom, you know, on Facebook, saying, hey, this is awesome. I can't believe, you know, that Jake's doing this. This is amazing. I'd like to learn more about the 98 Initiative. I kind of had a little bit of a story as to what that was about. And the funny thing was she was driving home. He had her phone. Jake had her phone. So I'm basically talking to him, not realizing that they were driving back, let alone I thought I was talking to her. Uh-huh. So in that texting conversation, you know, he kind of explained what it was about. I told him it was amazing. And, you know, how do I go by donating? So I made a small donation, got some stickers as well, because I know the kids would be heavily involved and would love the idea. Mm-hmm. And then couple weeks later, he contacted me out of the blue and he goes, hey, you know, I got authorization through Ohio High School Association, National Federation of High School Sports. Things are coming along. His high school, Sycamore High School, you know, with his coach and the AD, were very supportive of the idea. He goes, are you interested in being part of the board as the treasurer? And I said, okay, yeah, let me think about it. Literally within an hour later, I got back to him. I was like, I'm in. I'm all in. You know, I talked to my wife and kids. You know, they're very supportive, and they also wanted to be a part of it as well. So from there, it's just taken off. And this whole thing really took off in the Loveland community ever since the spring sports introduction to the parents and kids. You know, my daughter Lauren got to speak through the AD, Mr. Knatzer, and Jake was there too, to talk about the 98 Initiative. And ever since then, someone has been making phone calls to someone by the name of Tori Morrison that day. Unfortunately, she couldn't make it that day, but she got phone calls saying, and her phone was lighting up, saying, you got to talk to Jake and about 98 Initiative. So Jake got a hold, she got a hold of Jake. They talked, then I got involved. And ever since then, it has been amazing how it has grown within Loveland, and then through social media, it's slowly growing, but it's getting there. You know, through different schools, different communities, and like Jake said, it slowly has gone outside of Ohio to different schools that have been able to type it in and, you know, read about it, and they bought stickers as well. So
it's awesome. Been amazing. I know on a local level, we just had the game that was Loveland versus Anderson, right?
Correct.
So run me through that night.
So that was a mental health game, and that was an idea that Tori Morrison had. Tori Morrison is she runs the Ben Morrison Memorial Foundation, and she wanted to collaborate along with the My Faith Five with Gina Merrick, as well as she was inviting the One in Five Foundation. But also the main thing was including the Hope Squad. Hope Squad Loveland, but then she also included Hope Squad Forest Hills because that's the opponent that we're going to play. But in this whole process, she also got to understand and find out that Anderson, within the last, I think it was 10 months had lost a football player who was a senior, and their family, the Vogel family, she contacted them. They were going through the process that she had gone through about a year and a half ago, you know, of how to deal this. How do we come out, you know, and talk about this? And how do we face our friends, you know? And so she had all of us, all nonprofit organizations, collaborate that day. And we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know what we were going to get out of it. And I tell you what, we set up tables. Each one of us set up tables next to each other. She had the Hoop Squad handout, gel bands. And it, once the kids found out that this was a mental health game, they came out, they approached us. We gave them the free stuff. You know, that attracted them. You know, the stickers, the patches, the tattoos, you know, that they could put on. And they asked questions. And we even had parents out of the blue just ask us questions saying, this is amazing. You know, you really are opening up a lot of eyes. And fortunately, the 998 Foundation is also collaborating with another organization out in Utah called Helmets for Hope. And what they do, they take old football helmets, they recondition them, and then they either repaint them or put logos on them. Well, they gave us a reconditioned football helmet. I was able to, working with Tori and RP Diamond Embroidery, we were able to put a sticker on there, which is the Loveland and Anderson stickers on there, and then the other side was a 988 Initiative sticker, again, to raise awareness about mental health. And the idea was to not only give this to the football team that won the game, but also come back next year and continue to have this mental health game. You know, that's the thing, is come back every year. It's not just within the month of September. It's about every day outside of September. We have to continue to talk about mental health and how important it is. So that night, I mean, to see the kids come up, to see the crowd was so big. And then at the end of the night, unfortunately, Loveland did not win, but Anderson
good job,
won.
Anderson. Good job.
Anderson won, but we had both the Morrison family and the Vogel family. They came out, they presented the trophy, and the athletic director at Anderson was very, talked to the team, even the coach, explained to them how important, you know, this game was, how important it is to have the family there, and you know, they want to continue to have this game and help raise awareness, not only just for those kids, not only seniors are going into college, because they already have planted in their head that, hey, you know, I can, the important thing is to talk to someone. The important thing is to, if you know, look for your friends who are suffering, to be able to have them to talk to you about, you know, what they're going through. So it's created an opportunity. And for Tori and I, Gina, Tanya, the Hope Squads, it really opened up a lot of eyes as to how many people we reached out. You know, just without asking anything, just, hey, here's free stuff. And it was just amazing, the conversations that we've had.
That's amazing. So what's the next step, you think? You said there's going to be a game next year, similar thing. Are there any other schools trying to get involved?
So with... We actually just had a meeting with Tanya, myself, Tori, and Gina, and we're actually going to do more mental health games. Outside of football, we're doing basketball and also lacrosse.
Cool.
So we're actually talking to other schools. We have some meetings that we have already scheduled, and we're going to try to open this up and continue this on, you know, through different schools. We also have even other schools in Columbus as well that we've reached out, and they're willing to do this as well. So it's been huge, been really big.
So have all the schools kind of wrapped their arms around this, you think?
It's getting there. It slowly has gotten there. We have some schools that purchased banners. That was one of the main things, putting it out there on either a fence or on some type of open area to where people can see that, you know, they're supporting the 98 Initiative, what it's about, which is about, you know, starting conversations. You know, we've had a lot of schools like Wyoming, you know, Loveland, Moeller High School, just recently, you know, Mount Notre Dame and Marymount High Schools have purchased these banners. And we even had, you know, we even have a big support in Columbus whose coach, Triplett, you know, he's in heavily in lacrosse. I mean, his idea was he purchased, I think, close to 1,000 stickers. Oh, what he did was after every game, he would hand out 20 to 30 stickers to a coach of the opponent team to put on their helmets.
That's awesome.
And that's what is raising the awareness. It was an amazing idea. And this is a gentleman who also is a big supporter of the House Bill 492, which is about, you know, it just recently got approved in the Senate. It's in the House of Representatives. What it does is it's going to tell schools to train coaches on how to be trained on how to handle kids that have mental health issues or going through an issue, and how to pick up on those signs if they are showing any signs, you know, to be able to handle that.
So that's, where does that stand currently?
It's in the House of Representatives. Okay. So they're just waiting for that to get approved. There's a lot of dialogue. Mm-hmm. And Coach Triplett, from reading on Twitter, mm-hmm. he's been very supportive. A lot of people have been supporting him as well and mm-hmm. trying to get this passed.
And so. Isn't that, it would be 1 hour per?
I think so. I don't know the details.
I think but we'll have to check into that. I think all coaches would be required to have 1 hour of mental health training.
Correct.
Which is amazing. I mean, we need more than 1 hour.
Well, I was going to say, is that enough?
No, absolutely no. not. But it's better than nothing.
Correct. Right,
for sure.
Because think about how much time coaches spend with your kids.
Right. No, I mean, it's, and we've talked about this a little bit before, and this is something that I don't know enough about. So is that not already a part of the coaching curriculum? Like, I feel like that should
be mandatory. Well, some school, I know for Loveland, for example, we have a new AD, mm-hmm. Rich Bryant. He came from Lakota East, and I know Lakota East has a very rich mental health program out there. And so when he came here, he goes, you know what, all my coaches are going to be trained. And I know he trained mm-hmm. all their current staff in the fall season. I know he's going to do also the winter and the spring as well.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That really is. And I think what's amazing is with the Nine Initiative being this thing that's bringing awareness and the schools wrapping their arms around it, it is starting dialogues. Think of how many kids went home that night and had that conversation with their parents or with each other. Mm-hmm. So right. Have you been privy to any of the conversations that have been happening? Like, have you heard good stories of 98 starting a good conversation inside of homes?
You know, it's interesting is when we go out and talk to certain teams that have one-on-one conversations to talk about what 98 Initiative, I always have one person, and all it takes is just one person to pull me to the side and say, hey, I'm having a hard time with this. I know someone that has died through suicide, or, you know, I've had thoughts about it. Mm-hmm. I think what you're doing is amazing. What can you do to help me? And it's the important thing is once I've had one or two of those meetings, I even took the initiative of saying, you know what, I got to be QPR trained. Cause that's very important, because QPR is just like CPR with your heart. QPR is more on your brain. It's how to handle those conversations of people that have gone through that trauma or are thinking about, you know, doing something like that. So it's just talking to one person, even though you're talking to 50, 60 people, just the one person means a lot to me, but I think to a lot of people too.
Remind me what QPR stands for.
QPR stands for question, persuade, and refer.
Awesome. Now, looking at the impact that you're making and the different schools you're getting into, what do you think is your five-year vision for this? I mean, do you think it's every sport, every season, every school? Do you think that's too big picture?
Well, like in regards to understanding what the Knight Initiative scope was, you know, my goal is to start within the community, start a Loveland community, and slowly, you know, grow into other communities in the Cincinnati area. I know the goal, as Jake has said, was to look into colleges, because again, those kids are seniors. They understand what Knight Initiative is. They go into college. They have in their head, you know, what they need to do or how they need to approach someone that is going through a rough time, right? So hopefully we can go into college and maybe professional level. But at the same time, we're also looking at, okay, what about the veterans? You know, veterans mm-hmm. are going a hard time with mental health. You know, we also want to go down that lane. But of course, we also have to understand what does it take to get into there and do it the right way, right? Because again, all we're doing is just raising awareness. We're not professionals at this. We're just trying to help let these people that are suffering silently to be able to say, hey, I trust you enough to say something, or hey, I need help.
Here's a tool to
Correct.
Use. Here's something Correct. To help you.
Correct. And all we want to do is like, hey, here's a sticker, you know, have this available so that if you do think you want to talk, if you can't talk to a friend, you know, just dial 988 and then they'll be able to figure out where do you fall in this mm-hmm. level of, do you just need to talk to someone with a therapist, or are you at this other extreme end where you want to take your life? You're thinking about doing that. So it's just understanding. We just want to raise awareness to understand what that's all about.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. Now, how has this impacted your family? So I know that, for example, we had Lauren on earlier too, and she was absolutely incredible. I think she's one of the best podcast episodes we've ever recorded in any podcast. But looking at that conversation, you've matured a lot as a dad and yes. through these hard conversations. And I know that you said that that was one of the reasons you started getting involved in 988 was the family. So how do you as a dad have those conversations with your kids?
You know, I have always been known to be a, you know, I used to coach a lot, and I've always been known to, my main, I guess, main asset that I have is being patient. As a coach, as a father, I've always been patient and listened to people. And so I got tested a lot with, you know, with my kids and in regards to what they had to go through. So patience was a huge virtue that I really believe in, and I was fortunate to have that because I just listened. I just tried to be not only their best friend, but their dad, and you know, and their not just a hero, but kind of like a role model that I want them to be. And you know, in regards to reaching out to other kids, it's just being patient, and hopefully they can come out and say, "Hey, I need to talk to someone, or I want to be able to get help."
Now, generationally, there's been and the changing stigma, which this podcast is all about. How did your parents have a conversation with you about mental health?
Well, that was a little difficult. Now, my parents are very loving. They're from South America, so they're my first language is Spanish.
Okay? Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Oh,
yeah, I had to watch soap operas just to understand, pick wow. up English. So I was in a slow English class in grade school, but I eventually, you know, it became my main language now. You would never know.
No, it's awesome.
But, you know, I struggled with it. But my parents, you know, we were about family. We always got together every weekend. The internal and external families always got together. And through that, through the love, you know, that's how we were raised. Mm-hmm. You know, now in regards to communicating, you know, it was hard at first because my dad was always sports focused, you know, sports and of course, you know, religion and being Catholic, we had to go to church every Sunday, you know. But, you know, we had conversations, but it was only certain things, you know, type of things, because again, sports here, sports, then school, sports, that type of thing.
Right.
And mainly soccer. So,
right. So that's kind of played out. Now, Tanya, do you see there to be a generational divide? Are we becoming more mental health cognizant?
Yes, I believe so. Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
Fingers crossed. And that's one of the takeaways. I mean, talking to your daughter today, how emotionally intelligent she was amazing.
Well, and then I think a lot of that had to do with this pandemic. You know, a lot of the kids, a lot of families were inside the house, and a lot of kids couldn't go out and socialize, so they were inside their room, mm-hmm. and they didn't know how to handle that. We as parents didn't know how to yes. handle that, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, I'm sure there was a good percentage that took their families out and, you know, and did things, which it's great, but a lot of people were like, whoa, you know, we got to stay inside. We don't want to do this because mm-hmm. you don't know what's going to happen. So
a lot of things came up in families in 2020.
Oh, it's yeah. It was amazing. Something that the 98 is currently focused on as well is athletics, right? So you're focusing on the sports teams. You're doing all these different sporting events, and three out of the four people we've had conversations with have been impacted by suicide were athletes. Three of them were football players. There's someone else. I forget which sport it was. But looking at that, do you think there's a correlation between something that's happening in sports and suicide, or is that just a sample?
Not really sports. I mean, it's just sometimes when someone thinks of suicide, it's because they had something happen, you know, historically in their family or something like that. But, right. you know, for example, Katie Meyer. She's the Stanford College soccer player who, you know, she was amazing. When we saw her during the pandemic, and she helped win the national NCAA championship because she was a goalie on the team. Mm-hmm. She stopped penalty kicks. My daughters and I, we were just like, my gosh, look at her. She's so expressive. She had a lot of facial expressions because of what she did. I mean, she was an amazing soccer player. And unfortunately, apparently the story is she didn't have any issues in regards to mental health or anything. What happened was she was protecting a teammate who got in trouble. We don't know if it's with the school or with someone within the school. So she protected her teammate, but then she was getting emails in regards to, hey, there's legal issues if you keep protecting her, that type of thing. So she tried to become an adult. And I think a lot of these teenagers, when they go to college, is they try to make their own decisions. They try to be that young adult that their parents want them to be, right? So sometimes it's just that she just didn't know how to handle it. And right. I think she just didn't know how to tell her parents, hey, I've gone down this, I'm getting these emails, how do I handle this? And unfortunately, she just, you know, took her life thinking that that was the right, that so it's easy more about
the
way.
Pressure. The only way.
Correct.
So it's the pressure, and sports can create that pressure, but there's other things that can kind of create that pressure.
Right.
What do you see the impact could have with 988 for those kids who aren't involved in sports? Let's say the arts majors, the band people, the ones that aren't on those games on Friday nights.
Well, we're looking to, again, Jake's focus was to, what that was his lane was sports, okay? But we do want to go out and reach out, not only to student athletes, but also the students as well. You know, and with Hope Squad, you know, that's a huge organization that we want to tap into and work and collaborate with, because you have those students that are from different organizations mm-hmm. that they get into mm-hmm. and are involved, you know, because we have to work with them. We can't leave Hope Squad to the side. And again, the Hope Squad are the students that are chosen by their peers to be in that group, and they're the ones that see them every day. I don't see them every day. And all we try to do is say, hey, Hope Squad, we're here to help you to see what we can do and try to make this process easier for you, you know, by, hey, give them a sticker, you know, give them a patch or whatever it is, that, you know, there's always help that they need.
Wouldn't the goal eventually be that 988 is known as well known as 911?
That is to raise awareness about it. Yes, that would be the goal, because, right. but like you said earlier, you know, when 988 first came out January 16th of 2022, we quickly saw on social media that people were posting, hey, this is, you know, don't do that because police are going to come after you, you know. But and that's wrong information. Mm-hmm. You know, people didn't realize what this really meant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, police could come to your house. But the thing is that is once you are evaluated correctly, once the questions are asked, and if they realize that you do want to take your life, then they will call either it's police or a mobile unit that'll come out and help them out, okay, to try to figure it out. But most of the time, like 95% of those calls are basically, hey, I need to talk to someone. You know, mm-hmm. I need to talk to a therapist or, you know, someone professional to figure out mm-hmm. what I can, you know, what feedback I can get to try to, you know, see where I can go down my lane, my journey to become the person I want to be.
It's huge.
No, I was just wondering, what's it been like getting access to the schools? Are people open? Are most of the schools in the community open?
A lot of the schools have been open in regards to, like, for example, athletic directors or principals.
Mm-hmm.
It's those, you know, for example, like Hope Squad, they just need to understand and learn what 988 Initiative is. And that's what we need to do, is have these conversations. If we can have these conversations, let them know we want to work with them and collaborate,
mm-hmm.
that's all we want to do. And once they understand what that is, then they're like, okay, let's do a mental mm-hmm. health game. Mm-hmm. Let's hand out, you know, free stickers, free patches. Let's put up a banner so that people can see. And then hopefully when other competitors from other schools come in, they'll ask, hey, what is that 988 banner all about?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they'll ask questions. That's the thing. Not only ask questions, but social media. Not only, I know social media can be bad, but at the same time, it could be very helpful, you know, when people, you know, put out the right information, the correct information.
What do you mean by the right information?
Well, in regards to, you know, hey, look at the school that, you know, that has that, for example, Loveland and Anderson, you know, we posted pictures about, you know, it wasn't just us 988 Initiative, it was us Hope Squad, it was my Faith Five, mm-hmm. you know, it was One in Five. We were all there doing the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
We were all trying to do the same thing, which was raise awareness mm-hmm. about you know, mental health and suicide prevention.
So 988 is a nonprofit that I know that you're the currently treasurer for. So how does this, are you a pass-through nonprofit? Do you guys take any profit from this? How does that work?
No, there is no nonprofit. We just basically receive donations.
Okay.
What we've done is there was one investment, which was Jake and his family, because of what happened. They want to buy the stickers. They want to buy the patches. And what they wanted to do is like a pay it forward type thing. You know, they want to start off with Loveland. We started off with Loveland, handed out stickers, patches. And then Loveland was at some private donors were able to, you know, put in a donation. We bought more stickers, more patches. And then when another school contacts us, we would say, okay, here's some stickers, start passing these out, and then we can talk about what 988 Initiative is about. For example, the banner at the Loveland High School was donated by a family, a football family, that they didn't want to be, you know, known. They wanted to be an anonymous donation. They paid for that banner. We put the Loveland Boosters logos on there along with the 98 Initiative, put that up, and we've got so much positive feedback about mm-hmm. that. And ever since that, we put it on social media, and a lot of other schools are like, hey, what's this all about? We want to get these banners put up as well.
Gotcha. So just to be clear, you don't have a bank account with like $400,000 that you're using to go through and do other fundraising. It's all donation.
No, right? And the thing is the way nonprofit organization works is at the end of the year, you know, you might have a little bit of money, but the thing is you have to plan that. You have to, once you get audited, you have to say, okay, this is going to go toward this project, or to this school. You have to lay that up, because you have the state of Ohio is going to come after you and ask you questions. Okay, you do have you know, this laid out, make sure it goes down this path, this lane, and that's what happens. It's all checks and balances.
Okay, that's interesting. So it's more about where the money ends up at the end of the year than anything else, because the audit process. But I think that's going to be a good wrap for the end of this week's episode. Thank you so much, David, for being a part of the 988 Initiative and joining us on this show. Again, this is the Enough Podcast, produced by On Brand Podcast Studios.